Hello! Today is Wednesday, February 26th, and this is The Growl, presented by the Chagrin Falls High School Tiger Times. I am your host, Maggie Mills, and I'm joined with producer William Bizzone. First, the two of us are going to cover national news, then staff writer Junior Franny Ansolia is going to join me to talk about the Save Grove Hill signs that you've been seeing around town. Then we'll finish up with a sports update from our sports editor, Brett Radusky, and our new sports intern, Garen Bunker. So as usual, we're going to start off with a bit of news. Firstly, let's talk about the Democratic debate that happened last night. Bernie Sanders, who has won the last two primary elections, including Nevada on the 22nd, took most of the heat last night. Last week, the debate, most people focused on former New York Mayor Michael Bloomberg, but this time around, candidates focused on Sanders as he has taken a pretty strong lead. Other candidates such as Pete Buttigieg and Elizabeth Warren went after his electability and his position on things like guns and the feasibility of his plans like Medicare for All and his alleged sympathy for socialist regimes. Bloomberg last night took less heat. Warren last week really focused on namely the non-disclosure agreements that some people in his company have against him. Last night, he apologized for them and apologized for any inappropriate remarks he may have made towards women and released three women from these agreements. So he had a slightly better showing, but it seemed that Sanders took most of the heat. The question is, at the South Carolina primary, which is coming up, whether or not a moderate such as Biden will be able to win. Joe Biden has said, and many analysts have said, that in order for him to continue to be a viable candidate, he would need to win South Carolina or at least do far better than he has been performing in the polls. Sanders continues to lead the polls right now, so it'll be interesting to see how things go down in the next few weeks. Next, the coronavirus. U.S. health officials urged the country to prepare for the, quote, inevitable spread of the virus in the U.S. New cases have continued to surge outside of China, even as cases inside China have slowly declined. The coronavirus is spreading currently through Europe and the Middle East. There are 150 reported cases in Italy, and France just reported its first death from the virus. In an ironic twist of fate, Iran's health minister gave a speech last night or a couple nights ago during which he assured the public that the virus was under control in Iran and the numbers were fine and no one had anything to be worried about. But if anyone saw the video of his speech, he was sweating profusely and wiping his face with tissues the whole time. And that night he tested positive for the coronavirus. So that was ironic. But the last thing, the last bit of news that's really important this week is that Harvey Weinstein was found guilty on two counts of sexual assault. So Harvey Weinstein, a disgraced movie mogul and the man behind Miramax Productions, was largely the catalyst for the hashtag MeToo movement that took Hollywood and the rest of the world by storm in 2017. Weinstein, who is 67, was convicted Monday of one count of committing a criminal sexual act and one count of rape. More than 80 women have come forward with accusations of sexual misconduct since 2017, and the two convictions stemmed from the accusations of two women who said that Weinstein used his influence in Hollywood to lure them into hotel rooms or his apartment where he violently assaulted them. Countless others say that he used his influence as one of Hollywood's most powerful men to demand sexual favors. James Quella of the LA Times puts it well when he says that, quote, Weinstein's conviction was a validation of the Me Too movement and a sign to some that power and influence may no longer equal invincibility for men accused of sexual misconduct. Late Monday, Weinstein was believed or was taken to Bellevue Hospital with chest palpitations and high blood pressure. Apparently, his conviction came as a shock to him. His sentencing will be March 11th, and he faces up to 29 years in prison.
In other news, Disney CEO Bob Iger has stepped down this week, ending a 15-year stint in that role. He originally rose from the president and COO of the company in 2000 and was further appointed and was instrumental in guiding Disney into the streaming age with the acquisition of Fox's entertainment business, a deal that was worth $52.4 billion. He also gave Disney more leverage with the purchases of Pixar, Marvel, and Lucasfilm. These investments proved to be pretty wise as they gave Disney a lavish $13 billion in revenue from the box office last year, and they've also decided to take on Netflix with their own streaming service, Disney+, which already has over 30 million subscribers in its first few months. Iger said the decision to change titles was not accelerated by any particular reason, and the reins will be handed over to Bob Chapek, the head of Disney's lucrative parks sector. Iger also plans to stay as the executive chairman through 2021 and help Disney with its aspects of content creation.
now, staff writer Junior Franny Insolia is joining me to talk about what's going on right now with Grove Hill. So, hi, Franny.
Hi.
So, we've all probably seen the signs in town, the Save Grove Hill signs. So, can you tell us what's going on?
Yeah. So, basically, a developer has recently purchased that property and has proposed to knock down the historic Bancroft Hill built there and construct two new homes and three-story townhomes. And that would require cutting through the wall that we've all seen driving up Grove Hill.
So this is the property, if you're leaving Chagrin going up the hill, it's on the left.
Yes.
Right? Okay. And did he buy that house? Is that what happened? And
yes,
he wants to tear
did.
It down and build townhouses. Okay.
Yes.
So what has been the reaction thus far from the community?
So the main reaction is people are protesting against it, as you can see with the signs. With this construction, it would quite require the removal of 1,000 tons of soil from the hill. So that could affect like ongoing traditions we've had in Chagrin, like the pumpkin roll and other things. And also the hill is a very important part of kind of like the whole view of the town, and it might change. Having construction there would change like traffic flows through the town and might like decrease some of the stores' publicity.
So have you talked to anyone who seems to be in favor of the construction, or does it seem to be sort of an overwhelming against it?
The people I interviewed were mainly against it, although one student didn't have much of an opinion towards it.
Interesting. Okay, so now we just wait and see what gets approved by the council and what the community allows, right? Is
yes.
that where we're at? Okay.
Yes.
All right, well, thank you so much, Franny.
No problem.
Now I'll hand it over to our sports editor, Brett Radusky, and our new sports intern, staff writer junior, Garen Bunker.
Hello, it's Brett Radusky.
And Garen Bunker.
And we're here with your sports update.
For boys basketball, there was a win on Tuesday, February 25th, versus Ravenna 74-59 in sectionals round. They advanced to the districts Friday, February 28th against Streetsboro.
Also, huge congrats to the swim team on an amazing season. The boys had finished 7th in the states as a team, and the girls finished 33rd. They had 12 All-Ohioans, 4 podiums, and 8 top 16 finishes. The boys 200 free with John Cashy, Michael Trott, Parker Bros, and Clark Riebel finished 2nd in the state. Clark Riebel finished 4th in the state in the 50 free, and Kate LaMonica finished 5th in the diving in the D2 state.
And for wrestling, they have sectionals upcoming on Saturday against Beechwood.
Thank you, and go Tigers.
That wraps up this week's episode of The Growl, presented to you by the Chagrin Falls High School Tiger Times. If you're new here and like what you're hearing, we hope that you subscribe. We publish every Wednesday. If you're interested in more articles written by our staff writers here at the Tiger Times, feel free to check out our Apple News channel, which can be found by searching CFHS Tiger Times, and there you can find your daily dose of school news. I'm here along with our sports editors, Emma Livingston and Brett Radusky, advisor Mr. Casey, and of course our producer, William Bazone. This is your editor-in-chief, Maggie Mills, saying thank you for listening, and we hope to see you next week with another episode of The Growl.